Well, good morning. Happy New Year to you all, because some of you I haven't actually seen yet this New Year, so Happy New Year to you. And to those of you in Zoom land, Happy New Year. It's good to be together. Well, today we are beginning a new mini preaching series even, on prayer that will run through January. And over these next four Sundays, we're going to use the acronym PRAY. It's quite a helpful one to remember about prayer, isn't it? PRAY. So if we could have that first slide up, please, Andy, that'd be great. Here we go. So, brilliant, thank you. So, PRAY. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. And we're going to use this acronym to help us think about different aspects of our prayer life. Now, this model or acronym of prayer, PRAY, is used by 24/7 prayer, most notably in their prayer app, Lectio 365. And I do swear I'm not being paid by them to promote them, though this is the umpteenth time I've mentioned them. But if you have used Lectio 365, it is an app, free app you can get on your phone. It's a really good one to help you with your prayer life. And it's even less than 16 minutes, Janine, wherever Janine has gone. There you are. So do download that. So today, we start by thinking about pausing. How good are you at stopping? Of being still? Perhaps some of you hate it. You prefer to be active, getting things done. Perhaps some of you have such a hectic and chaotic life that you would warmly welcome a moment of pausing and being still. We used to love reading the large family books with our children. I don't know if any of you remember those, which were about an elephant family going through the ups and the downs of family life. And one of these books was called 5 Minutes Peace. And if we could have the next picture up, that would be brilliant. I'll just skip on to it. Here it is, 5 Minutes Peace. And it basically tells the story of poor old mum trying to get 5 minutes peace from the children and all the demands made upon her. And every time she tries, she gets interrupted. Whether we avoid stopping and taking time to pause and reflect, or whether we desperately crave it but just can't attain it, the Bible certainly encourages us to do it, and particularly in the context of prayer. Psalm 46 is a familiar psalm to many of us. And in one sense, it's not a psalm about how to pray, though by its very nature, it is a song penned for praise and prayer. But within this beautiful psalm, there is a verse that captures the importance of this pausing in prayer. And it's one we've heard many times before. Indeed, some of you may even have it up on your wall like we do. And if we could have the next slide, that would be great. And that verse is verse 10, where God says to his people, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, as said, this is one of those verses that often gets thrown around. It's a family favourite. It's on the greeting cards and it's on the bookmarks. But like with many verses, it's important not to take it out of its context. Because understanding the psalm within which this verse sits not only makes this verse more understandable, but it also makes it more powerful and desirable. The context of this psalm is trouble. It begins with the statement, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. It then goes on to list various natural disasters that could or have occurred, and it also talks about the threat of other kingdoms and powers against God's people. We can all find ourselves in places of fear, where we feel overwhelmed by what is going on around us, or what may or may not happen to us. The pandemic has been such a time as this. The fear of getting COVID and what might happen if we do. Or the fear of a loved one getting it, particularly if they are vulnerable. Perhaps it's the fear of global warming and all the knock-on effects this has on our planet and its inhabitants. Perhaps it's the fear of the political landscape at present of what awaits us in the coming years. Perhaps we're struggling at work or at home, and it often feels overwhelming. Perhaps we're struggling in our marriages, or our families, or our friendships. Perhaps we are struggling with ill health, or bereavement, or loss of job, or isolation. In life, there is much hardship. It can be testing, even overwhelming at times. And each of us have our battles to face. And perhaps these battles aren't just external, but internal. Mental health cases are sky high at the moment. Now, if you look at the adverts, and particularly social media, people are often projecting the life they want to have rather than the life they actually have. Whether we face trials, whenever we face trials, our natural instinct is either fight or flight. And we're often good at hiding, aren't we? Perhaps that's why the entertainment industry is so prolific, because we love a bit of escapism, don't we? And don't get me wrong, we all need a bit of escapism sometimes. But we also need to hear Jesus' words. In this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't say you might have trouble. He says you will have trouble. How are we feeling so far? Is this the best motivational New Year's talk you've heard or what? Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't been hearing, amen, brother, preach it. We want more of that, Chris. Keep it coming. More of the trouble. Well, life can be hard, even in our comfortable Western bubble. And we all know this because we all experience it, don't we? And so when Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, he's not saying something we don't know, particularly if we follow him. That brings its whole other set of problems and troubles sometimes. But, you've got to love the buts in the Bible, don't you? Yeah? There is a song I won't sing, but you've got to love the buts in the Bible, okay? Because it says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Ah, oh, now I'm getting the hallelujahs. No one wants to hear about trouble, do they? And this is the hope and the remedy, that Jesus has overcome the world. And this is also the tension we find ourselves in. We are broken people who live in a broken world. But Jesus has overcome the world Through his death on the cross, he has saved us from the sin that so easily entangles us and cuts us off from God, the life force. And he has restored our relationship with God. And therefore, death, sin, and fear should no longer have the final word. We've seen signs and glimpses of God's kingdom coming here on earth as it does in heaven, bringing restoration and healing to the broken parts of our lives and our societies. But it's in part. It's here, but it's not fully here. And this is the tension we live in. We have received Christ, but we long for his return when all things will be put right and the new heaven and earth will be established. When God will be with us fully and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. When there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. And this is what the psalm is encouraging its readers to remember. Not just that we have trouble in this world, yes, but that Christ is with us and has ultimately overcome the world. Though the context of this psalm is trouble, the psalmist encourages his people to remember that their God is bigger than the things they face. It begins by stating that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, therefore, we will not fear. And then it goes on to say why you might fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though COVID is still at large. Though my work and family life is testing and beyond what I can bear at times. Though I am drowning in debt. Though I am ill or bereft. Though I don't know where I'm going, I will not fear, because God is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in trouble. This verse came to mind when I was recently battling my own demons. I was out walking the dog, and I was beating myself up. For all the mistakes I've made, feeling frustrated and hopeless with myself and my situation, and crying out to God to help me, to intervene, to be real. And this verse popped into my head. An ever-present help. In Jesus, we have someone who has entered into our humanity, knows what it is to be human, to be tested, to be betrayed, to be hurt. He knows what hardships are about more than any of us here do today. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And though he is not physically with us now, by his Holy Spirit, we have an ever-present helper who comes to us in our hours of need and reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength, in whom we can take shelter in the storms of life. But he is also an ever-present helper. He is with us now, working in us through his Holy Spirit, working all things, both the ups and the downs, for the good of those who love him. So to rephrase some of the psalmist's words this morning, church, by his Holy Spirit, God is within you, and you will not fall. God will help you at break of day. New are his mercies every morning. Not just some, every morning. Through this psalm, God encourages us in the midst of all that is going on in our lives to be still and know that he is God. To stop and remember who God is and what he has done in our lives and the lives of those before us. God has not abandoned you. Zoomers, God has not abandoned you. Some of us need to hear that today. God has not abandoned you. The Lord Almighty is with us, the psalm says. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmist encourages us to come and see what the Lord has done, to stop and to remember that he is the God whose word can melt the earth or calm the storm. That he is the God who makes war cease to the ends of the earth, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear, who burns the shield with fire, who says to you, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So be still and know that he is God. God is in control. In your prayer times, whether that's in a quiet room as Jesus encourages, or whether it's out walking the dog, make time in prayer to be still, to be reminded of who God is, what he said, what he's done, and where history is ultimately heading. Pausing allows us to gain perspective, to see the bigger picture. Pausing allows us not to start by telling God about all our problems, but to tell our problems about God. The God who is bigger than the problems we face. The God who has overcome all things for us. The God who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Pausing allows us to take our eyes off the problems we are facing for a moment and to look up and see our God, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Pausing encourages us to remember who God is, to be reminded of his goodness and his faithfulness in the past, so that we can trust him for the present and the future. Pausing helps us to return to being people of faith, not of fear. Because we remember that God is ultimately in control. And by his perfect love, he promises us that he will cast out all fears. Now, you may be saying quietly in your heart, "Amen! That sounds good. That's more like it. I want a slice of that." But how can I do that? Well, the first thing we need to do is deal with our mindset and our priorities. The thing is, we are great at coming up with excuses, of listing a whole host of reasons why we can't pause, we can't possibly stop. We're too busy, we're too in demand, and therefore we're too exhausted to stop for a moment. But this is a lie that we often hide behind. The truth is, you do have time to pause daily. You just choose not to. If you can find time to check Facebook or Instagram, binge on Netflix, go for a coffee, chat with a friend, go to the gym, then you have time to be still and be with your God for a moment. You just have to shift some of your priorities around. If you really want to grow in your faith, in your prayer life, in your relationship with God, then you need to make time for him. You need to show him that he is your priority, and not just treating him like a vending machine that you only go to when you need something. Any relationship you have is only as good as the time you put into it. Think about any of your relationships, and that will be true. I guarantee it. Any relationship you have is only as good as the time you put into it. So my advice to you is to find a time that is realistic and be intentional about it. There's no point saying to yourself, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to get up really early and spend some time with God. There's no point doing that if you know you're not a morning person and your pausing is most likely to result in more snoring. Okay? Be realistic about who you are, how you tick, and what works for you. If you have a dog like us, then combine your time of pausing and reflecting whilst you're out walking the dog. If you live on your own and you're not being bullied out of bed by the demands of children, school, or puppies, then perhaps you might be able to grab a quiet moment over that first cuppa for breakfast instead of watching the news or trawling through your Twitter feed. If you're at work all day, then why not try and find that time on your daily commute? Or if that's not possible, on your lunch break, or go for a walk, or sit somewhere quiet. And this doesn't have to be limited to just yourself. I love journaling. Thanks, Janine, for mentioning your journaling. Journaling is one of the ways in which I find helpful to pause, to stop, to reflect, to get stuff out and think. But you don't have to do this on your own either. You can pause with other people. What a novel idea. You can do that. However you decide to do it, make sure it's realistic. Don't try and force yourself into something that is not going to work and only leaves you feeling guilty. It's what a lot of New Year's resolutions do, don't they? We start well, We fall, we beat ourselves up, then we give up. So be realistic. Don't put something on yourself that doesn't fit. Be realistic. But alongside this, I would encourage you to be prepared to sacrifice other things in order to show God that he's a priority. I can speak from experience when I say that I feel much more well-being, hope, and strength when I've spent time being still in God's word and presence than I have done when I've binged on Netflix for a whole evening. And there's some good stuff on Netflix, but it doesn't make me feel as good as when I spend time with God. Jesus sacrificed himself for you so that you might have a life in all its fullness. The least you can do is give him 1,000 seconds or 16 minutes of your time each day, as Janine suggested. And as I said earlier, the wonderful thing about using Lectio 365 is it's only 10 minutes long. And that's if you listen to it. And in terms of New Year's resolutions that are truly good for our health and well-being, I can't think of anything better than resting in the presence of my Creator, who knows me, loves me, and has plans for me. So, heed the encouragement of our psalm today and find ways in which you can make time daily to be still and know your God, to know him as your true refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Thank you.